Welcome to the daily full show podcast of the Ray Hadley Morning Show.
The Power Station.
This is Ray Hadley in the Morning, right across Australia.
Good morning and welcome. Monday the 18th of May. I'm Ray Hadley. Great to have your company on 2GB, 2CC, 4BC and stations on the Macquarie Regional, Southern Cross and Capital Radio Networks. Top of 21 in the City of Sydney. Same at Western, 22 in Brisbane. We'll check the weather across the rest of the listening area shortly. They're saying a bit of rain for Sydney today. It's bucketing down in and around Brisbane, and there are heaps of delays on the roads up that way this morning. Johanna has been telling me from our 4BC newsroom that a truck hit a guardrail and rolled over the Rochedale area, Rochedale Road at Rochedale South, blocking two lanes southbound of the M1 half past six this morning. Johanna was travelling north to Brisbane. It's still taken 2 hours because of the rubberneckers. Took her 2 hours to get from Yatala to Springwood. Near IKEA, normally a 40-minute travel. So we'll talk about that. And the rain buckets down in Brisbane at the moment. They say it might rain later today in Sydney. No matter where you are, 131873, email me either rayhatley.com, 2gb.com, 4bc.com.au, or access information from the program by going to facebook.com/The Ray Hadley Morning Show. Well, some great news for the government with the latest polls in both News Limited and Fairfax papers today. In News Limited, the news poll, the budget has been given the thumbs up. Now, Tony Abbott is the preferred PM. And in fact, in the Fairfax poll, Abbott leads Shorten 44-39. In the two-party preferred vote news poll, still has the opposition well in front. But in Fairfax, it's 50-50. And I guess when you've been where Tony Abbott's been in terms of polling, you're happy with anything that's 50-50. So great news for Tony Abbott and his government, and the Treasurer, Joe Hockey, is doing the rounds, will be a special guest this morning on this program in the next half hour. He'll replace our regular special guest, Scott Morrison, who will join me on Tuesday. Scott has made way for the Treasurer. The vision of 84-year-old Frank Lowy falling off the presentation stage at the A-League Grand Final was terrible. It's incredible he was able to get back on stage to present the trophy. He's a tough old fella. Mr. Lowy is very lucky not to suffer a serious injury. Thankfully, he's okay, and so is Melbourne. Melbourne victory after a 3-0 win over Sydney FC. I've been trying to get my head around this story out of Toowoomba, of all places, where we do broadcast to. We go into Toowoomba, and it's lovely to have your company on 4GR today. This blonde-headed Australian, Islamic convert, feared to have joined a terror group in Syria, and being used as a propaganda pawn, to poach fresh recruits from Western countries. He's an 18-year-old, radicalised. It's just bizarre. Oliver Bridgman, his parents are beside themselves. They don't know how or why it happened. In the meantime, almost 300 Australians travelling to the Middle East have been hauled off planes in the past 9 months in an escalation of counter-terrorism operations by spy and policing agencies. They're keeping them here. Some people say, no, let them go, but they're keeping them here. And I guess we need to keep an eye on these young fellas to a certain extent. US commandos have killed a senior Islamic State leader in a night raid into Syria. Now, this was given by President Obama, the permission. He approved a special forces operation, a rare use of boots on the ground by the US. The wife of this fellow is being held in a military detention facility in Iraq, while a young woman who appears to have been held as a slave by the couple has been freed. So it continues to hot up, and it's very significant that the Americans have decided via a presidential decree to go on the ground there. As opposed to bombing raids, they have people on the ground. And worrying this story out of London, Islamic State is exploiting the Mediterranean refugee crisis by smuggling fighters into Europe. According to an investigation, the extremist group is working with human trafficking gangs to transport its members into the West by hiding them among refugees. Well, I have no doubt that during the 50,000 people that arrived here, we'd have people that don't think the way most Australians think in 2015. Anyway, we'll wait and see what happens there. Now, the New South Wales government, thankfully, has pulled the pin on two palookas, and I'm happy to say that they have. They're described as two King's Cross bar operators, the first people to be banned for life from holding a New South Wales liquor licence after repeatedly breaching laws and abusing police on social media. FU King's Cross LAC, they put on Facebook, apparently. The two men have been identified as John Barakat and Dominic Cacati. They ran bars in the Cross, but now they won't be running bars anyway, because the acting Premier and the Minister for Justice and Police, Troy Grant, has announced the life bans as the toughest sanctions ever handed out against any rogue licensee in New South Wales. The bars they ran are now into hands of apparently responsible owners, I'm told. I don't know anything about them, but these blokes have nothing to do with it anymore. They're finished. Now, there's a really happy story coming out of Townsville. Two little fellas have survived the night in rugged bushland without much clothing, enduring cold, wet, windy conditions. 6 and 5, Nicholas Baxter and Timmy Carter. No serious injury, spent 24 hours outside in the hills of a suburb near Townsville with no food, wandering barefoot. The boys are neighbours, reported missing at 4 o'clock on Saturday afternoon after playing together in a backyard. There was a frantic search. 40 SES volunteers. What will we do without you people? 28 police, 110 defence personnel scoured the hills, 2 choppers. They thought the boys might have been hiding. Then people were asked to search backyards. They wandered off and became lost. They spent a cold night together before they were found yesterday afternoon, 3K from where they disappeared, the little fellas, cheeky little faces they've got on them too. And they'll be getting kisses and cuddles from mums and dads, I suspect. And they're good. I don't understand this story on a number of counts. The mother of a teenager who shot himself in the head, allegedly during a game of Russian roulette, is praying for him to recover. His name is Josh Taylor. He's 19. Last night, he remained in a critical condition after firing a single bullet from a Smith & Wesson pistol, while parked in a car with friends outside the Pitt Town IGA, which is in a sleepy part of northwestern Sydney on the outskirts. This happened at 6:30 Friday night. His mother posted a Facebook support for a son, urging him to make a full recovery. Come on, mate, fight. He's understood to have fired the only shot from the pistol. His social media accounts indicate he had an interest in weapons. He uploaded an image of a Glock pistol and a cartridge in November last year. Where does a 19-year-old get a Smith & Wesson pistol? A pistol? And what 19-year-old plays Russian roulette with the same pistol? I don't get it. I simply don't get it, and I probably never will. In Queensland, now, you'd probably appreciate that union membership nationally is falling. Well, not in Queensland, not if the Premier up there, Anastasia Palaszczuk, has much to say. Front page of the Courier Mail today. Public service managers have been ordered to recruit staff to unions in a rather extraordinary deal signed in secret by the Palaszczuk government. The pact means the state government will, in effect, become a recruiting arm of the union movement, with the union delegates granting a free run of agencies. Union delegates will be given taxpayer-subsidised office space, telephones, computers, notice boards and other facilities, and allowed to recruit members and conduct union business during office hours. The deal includes a plan to subsidise unionists to study industrial relations at uni in work hours. The pact even links the running of the government agencies to unions. As part of this commitment, the government will encourage the establishment of joint union and employer consultation committees as a central agency level. I mean, well, we know that the Labor Party has been in the past in bed with unions. Now it's officially confirmed that in Queensland, they're not just in bed with them, they're making love to them, if you'll pardon the expression. In New South Wales recently, a recent addition to the Labor government spoke out against the unions. And he got shouted down, a new member of the lower house. Treasurer and Industrial Relations Minister Curtis Pitt defended the agreement, saying unions were part of the Australian democracy. Mr. Pitt, they're a diminishing part of Australian democracy. This is bizarre behaviour. I bet those who voted for Anastasia Palaszczuk didn't know this was about to happen, but it has. Anyway, sport, and there's plenty of that about today as well. Look, I'll have a bit to say a bit later about the criticism by Malcolm Turnbull of Emma Alberici and Lee Sales from the ABC. He says some strange things, Malcolm Turnbull, for the Minister for Communications. NRL started on Friday night. The Roosters over the Bulldogs 24-10. Cowboys over Broncos 31-20. Warriors got home in Golden Point extra time, 17-13 over the Eels. Sharks, same. Golden Point extra time, 23-22 over the Titans. The Storm beat the Rabbitohs 16-12. They say that Cameron Smith will be free to play in the Origin 1 game because he'll be given a grade 1 for his use of the foot. Dragons over the Raiders 32-18. The Knights over the West Tigers 22-12. And I'm like Jason Taylor, I can't believe they lost a scrum against the Head and Feed when they had a chance at 16-12 to score and win the game. He says he doesn't know why, but they'll have to practice putting the ball into the scrum. Tonight at 7 o'clock, Manly take on Penrith, and that's at Brookvale Oval, by the way. Already mentioned the A-League Grand Final. Melbourne victory over Sydney FC, 3-0. Well done to them. The AFL Round 7, what about Greater Western Sydney? Over Carlton, 135-57. The Swans over Geelong, 120-77. And the Lions over Port Adelaide, 102-65. 102-65. Not good news for the Gold Coast Suns. West Coast beat them 135-43. Super 15, well done to the Reds at Suncorp. Over the Rebels, 46-29. Waratahs over the Sharks, 33-18. And the Brumbies over the Lions by 30 points to 20. Rory McIlroy became the first two-time winner in the Wells Fargo Championship. He won by a massive margin. A massive margin, 21 under par. A 3 under par, 69, but he's 61 in the third round, which just mind-blowing. Four-stroke win over two players, Webb Simpson and Patrick Rogers. And Australian Jeff Ogilvie finished, I think, joint seventh after a 4 under par 68. Rod Pampling has won that Webb.com Tour event, a pro-am, a charity event, but he's collected $121,000 for his efforts. He finished, I think, from memory, at 25 under. The record was 27 under. He had a total of 261. And that was played in South Carolina. So Pampling has a partial ticket to the PGA, and when he's not playing in that, he goes back to the web.com tour, and he's won. Brad Haddon has announced his retirement from one-day international cricket. We've in the best. And with the last play of the final, Australia's women's sevens rugby team has snatched victory over Canada in London to win their first title of the season and edge closer to automatic Olympic qualification. The Aussie men in the same tournament finished runners-up, by the way. So there's plenty for us to talk about, plenty for you to talk about. If you would like to join us, 131873 is the open line number. If you'd get me on the email, 2gb.com, rayhadley.com, 4bc.com.au, and getting podcast videos and program content by going to facebook.com/ The Ray Hadley Morning Show. Joe Hockey shortly. I'm Ray Hadley on 2GB, 2CC, 4BC, and stations on the Macquarie Regional, Southern Cross and Capital Radio Networks. It's 18 minutes past 9.
On the Ray Hadley Morning Show, traffic for AustralianFleetSales.com.au.
At Brighton & Sands, a smash on the Grand Parade near President Avenue has just been sidelined. Mascots now, Southern Cross Drive, still very heavy traffic citybound as you make your way towards the Moore Park area. Waterloo and oil spill, Botany Road affecting northbound traffic at McAvoy Street. Now, out of Treloris, Centenary Drive, still very heavy traffic northbound, heading up towards the Arthur Street area. At North Mead, watch out for some furniture on James Roos Drive, the westbound off-ramp to Windsor Road. And down around Wollongong, a smash on Princess Highway, northbound to Five Islands Road. This is Ian Wallace for Larry Hadley Morning Show.
Amber Tiles Autumn Sale is now on. Hurry in for store-wide savings with 20% off everything. Sale ends this Sunday. Visit ambertiles.com.au for your nearest store.
And good to have your company approaching 19 past 9. Possible shower 21 in Sydney. About the same across the listening area. Penrith 21, Liverpool 21, Richmond, Parramatta, Campbelltown all 20. Bucketing down in Brisbane at the moment, a top of 22. 22 at the airport, Ipswich 23, Logan 22, Wynnum Manly 21, Redcliffe 22, a bit warmer at the coast, Gold Coast 24, Sunshine Coast 24. And that rain you're getting today in Brisbane with those traffic problems you're having, not often that the traffic problems in Brisbane are worse than we have in Sydney, but that's the case today. They're saying rain tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, and clearing on Friday. All you golfers will have to have a week off by the look of it. There'll be rain right through the week or you'll get wet. Port Macquarie showers and 21, Kempsey showers 20, Coffs Harbour showers 20, Wagga Wagga sunny 20, Griffith mostly sunny 23, Goulburn morning fog and frost 17, Cooma the same 17, Jindabyne the same 16, Orange partly cloudy 15 the maximum, Bathurst morning fog 14 the maximum, same for Lithgow 14, Bowral Southern Highlands 16, Canberra mostly sunny and 18 degrees. For our listeners on 2CC in Canberra, good morning to you. Looking at Queensland generally now, and that rain that's in Brisbane is extending to other parts of the state, which is good news. Maryborough and Hervey Bay, shower 2, 25. Townsville, possible showers 29. Charters Towers, cloudy and 28 degrees there. Now, Toowoomba, possible showers 18. Kingaroy, showers and 21. Charleville, possible morning shower and 26. It won't rain in Mount Isa or Cloncurry, 30 degrees. By the way, speaking of the Isa and Cloncurry, I had a call from Dan Ballard from Mount Isa on Friday. We had a chat about Dan and his wife Lacey expecting their first child later this year. I think he told me in September. And his continuing battle with weight. Well, he went to Cloncurry races on Saturday. There were only five races. He rode in four of them. He won three of them, including a 15-1 winner for his mum, Denise, finished second in his only other ride, and in the first race, the Ballards Quinellidon. Dan won from his father, Keith. Well done to the Ballards. That's what happened in Cloncurry. Longreach, mostly sunny, 28. Emerald, partly cloudy, 27. Roma, possible morning shower, 25. Wallumbilla, the same. Dalby, 23 degrees there. Possible afternoon shower. St George, possible showers, 23. Gundawindi, cloudy in 23. And Cunnamulla, partly cloudy. And 25 degrees, 21 minutes past 9. 131873 is the open line number, 24 and a half minutes past 9. Now, weather update from Jamie at 4BC. Overcast, but not raining at Cannon Hill, where 4BC is. Had showers on and off all yesterday and this morning, but nothing like a few weeks ago, just persistent rain. Before I get to Joe Hockey, the treasurer, I've got a call about this young fella who's in a critical condition in hospital, the result of Russian roulette. Sam, hello.
Hey, mate, Harry. How are you going, Ray?
Good, Sam. You, without any names, you know the people involved, do you?
Yeah, mate, yeah. I live in McGrath Hill, which isn't far away from this town. There's a few things I can discuss with you off air, but, mate, I saw everything, and I was down at the pub. These fellas were walking around trying to get a large amount of money out before the incident.
What when you say, how much is a large amount of money, Sam?
Well, for their age, about $4,000 or $5,000. $3,000 to $4,000.
What? So the inference is that they didn't have a gun, but they were trying to buy a gun. Is that what you're saying?
Either that or drugs, because I know a few, mate, ICE has just gone rapid in my...
Well, it's gone rapid everywhere, Sam. I don't think McGrath's Hill or Pitt Town's by itself.
Yeah, mate, honestly, these young kids, they start with the marijuana, they escalate to the eyes, and then, mate, people go crazy. So
anyway, Sam, look, you stay there. We will talk to you off air and get some further details. Maybe you've answered the question. How do some young blokes in a car start playing Russian roulette where one ends up shooting himself in the head? Maybe drugs were involved, I have no idea, but that'd be some sort of explanation, one would imagine. Just incredible. 131873 is the open line number, 2gb.com. Click on the feedback icon. Treasurer Joe Hockey, we're about to talk about a whole range of other matters, but you're sitting there as I took the call from Sam shaking your head. We have a major problem in the country with ICE, a major problem in rural and city areas. It's never been as it is now.
Oh, it's terrible, Ray. I know the Prime Minister's made a number of announcements about it, ways that we can try and help deal with it, but... You know, I was in northern Tasmania, and that was on Friday lunchtime, and I'm wondering why all these kids are in the mall, and some of them are just off their dials, and I just got angry about it.
In a rural part of Tasmania?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, it's a combination of factors, but it is a scourge, and you can easily see how it's linked to that horrific event.
Well,
Russian roulette with a gun.
The most plausible explanation, I guess, that drugs were involved. But I just, what they tell me, the coppers tell me it's readily available, and it's a lot cheaper than other drugs.
And
people don't necessarily have to work to buy it. There are outlaw motorcycle gangs moving into rural parts of Australia that they haven't been into before, and it's their currency. It's how they make money, which is really scary.
It's a major threat in the Indigenous communities as well now.
Obviously. Okay, back to what we were to talk about. And normally Scott Morrison would be here, but he stood aside for Joe, and I appreciate that. He'll be tomorrow with us, the Minister, Scott Morrison. Now, I know you don't take much notice of the polls, particularly when they're crook, but this morning there must be a smile on the face of the Treasurer, the Prime Minister, and those in cabinet.
Well, you know what I'm... happy about is
what?
When people come up to me in the streets and say they're going to go out and have a go. That's what lifts my spirits when everywhere I go, people are saying, yep, they're going to go and buy that bit of equipment for their business. Tradie came up to me yesterday and said he's going to buy a new tool kit he's been holding off. He's a plumber and he needed some new tools. These are the things that people can do now, because not only are we giving them a tax cut, but we're giving them the ability to write off against their tax on the 1st of July anything they buy up to $20,000 that helps with their business. That's great.
It's funny, I just looking at some commercials I'll do later for 4BC in Brisbane for one of our sponsors, free plug for them, Spitwater, and it's the Joe Hockey commercial. a Spitwater is a device under high pressure, petrol, diesel, electric, where, you know, used by brickies, used by people in the building industry, graffiti, and they've said unashamedly in their ad that I just looked at before, go out and buy one now because it's tax deductible until 2017 thanks to Joe Hockey. So that's the sort of thing that's going to happen, I suspect.
Well, that's what we need, Ray. I mean, we need that as an adrenaline shot into the arm of small business. And small business is going to be the big driver of the future of the Australian economy. Every big business starts as a small business. They're the big innovators. They're disrupting a lot of big businesses that are slow off the mark. I'm very positive about Australia's future, and small business is the engine room of the economy.
I watched you with Carl this morning on the Today program, and he, like everyone else, was trying to push you on a double dissolution and going to the polls. The one thing that wasn't raised, and this will be frustrating, the last time you did the budget before this one, and you've changed tack this time, you couldn't get it through the upper house. Based on what the Labor Party has said so far, based on what the crossbenchers are saying so far, you're going to really struggle. You can send Scott Morrison into bat. You can go into bat. Anyone else can go into bat. You can talk to Clive. You can have Chinese food with him. You can do what you like. He's only one vote in the Senate this time.
Yeah.
But what happens if, you know, the responsible budget that tries to trim things without being too tough gets to the, you know, the hurdle, the Senate, and they knock it on the head? I mean, it has to be a game changer.
Well, certainly there's a lot of pressure now on Bill Shorten, and rightly so, because he's now come up with $59 billion of big spends, and he hasn't said how he's going to pay for them. And so he's even opposing his own savings, his own previous budget cuts, which is kind of bizarre. So I think the pressure's now on Bill Shorten to start being cooperative and helping us to address part of the mess that he left. Importantly, we're continuing to roll out our plan. I mean, our small business plan is going through, right? There's no debate about that now. It's our cuts going through.
But surely the whole deal is predicated on the whole deal.
In families it is.
In piecemeal, if they don't give you the savings you want in some areas, it would be irresponsible of the government to go ahead and spend in another area if the Senate doesn't give you the money with which to do it.
Well, there are some things we're just not proceeding with, like the paid parental leave scheme that we took to the last election, and therefore that helps us to save some spending, which is going to small business. So there's an offset there already. But having said that, there's still a lot that is going to the Senate that is going to require some common sense. Now, Christine Milne was a very difficult person to deal with previously.
Why?
She wouldn't return our phone calls as a starting point. It's hard to deal with.
That's not a good start.
No, it isn't a good start.
If they're not returning your calls, Joe, you give up.
Well,
whether it's Christine Milne or a girlfriend when you're 20.
Well, we're not going there. But in the case of Christine Milne, she was very difficult to deal with. I'm hopeful that the new Greens leader, Senator Di Natale, is going to be far more sensible. And sooner or later, someone's got to call out Bill Shorten about the fact that he's making all these problems. You know, he last Thursday night, he said he wanted to give small business a 5% tax cut, right? And on Friday, his finance minister is saying, well, we might not want to do that for the next election. But the concern was that if you can't just give a company tax cut to small business, because, as you know, 2/3 of small businesses are sole traders or partners. So they weren't going to get anything under the Shorten plan. Under ours, they're getting something, and they're getting a 5% tax discount. They're also getting accelerated depreciation. So there are packages around. But, mate, we're giving it our very best shot, and we're very confident that we'll get things through.
You wouldn't expect, given what happened in the polls today and the acceptance of the budget by just about everyone, bar the Labor Party and the crossbenchers in the Senate, that there would be a leadership challenge. And I note that Simon Benson, writing in the Telegraph on Friday, enunciated what most people think, that there was to be, you know, not a challenge, but if the Prime Minister were to decide that he had enough and wanted to ride bikes for the rest of his life and work harder for rural fire services, that the person that would be front-running now would be Morrison in front of Turnbull. Now, that may result in Malcolm having a deprivation problem, because he's gone on TV yesterday and ripped into Lee Sales and Emma Alberici about, quote, their aggressive approach to political interviews. Now, I would have thought he was going to pick on someone about being aggressive. He may have picked on someone else other than Lee Sales and Emma Alberici. You were the subject of an interview on the night you handed down the budget by Lee Sales. Did you feel like you'd been savaged?
Did I think? Well, you know, I was getting my point across. I mean, it was... I didn't feel as though it was particularly any.
You weren't going to crumble, were you?
No, you weren't going to pull
a Kleenex and say, Lee, can you please leave me alone? I'm in the fetal position.
No, I have a great deal of respect for Lee Sales. I think she is she's a formidable interviewer, and you know, and I don't mind a difficult interview, because I'm always trying to argue the policies, and they'll overcome some of the various comments.
Well, see, I'm viewed as a right-wing commentator, yet the best two blues I've had on air with federal parliamentarians, one of them was with Alexander Downer, I think called me a pig.
Wow.
And that was over the fact that he'd gone on a holiday to, or didn't go on a holiday to Bali, knowing that pedophiles were working inside a hotel, and we had a blue about that. And the other one was a Liberal politician, the former Attorney General Greg Smith, who threatened to sue me and do all sorts of strange things to me. So I'm privy to how people perceive you, and, you know, when you're doing your job and you're asking difficult questions, because I had the luxury of seeing her interview you, then interview Bill Shorten. And if she was tough on you, she was tougher on him, I thought.
Right.
I mean, she demanded answers from both of you.
And whoever's conducting the interview should demand answers. I mean, I'm happy to stand by all of my... interviews, and people can interpret them whichever they want.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way, because I'm about to move into a difficult time. I heard you again this morning on Channel 9 talking about double dipping. Now, I don't necessarily disagree with you that it's double dipping in relation to the paid parental leave. Someone pays you an amount of money in private enterprise or the government, and then you have another crack with another government scheme at $11,500 or thereabouts.
Yeah.
Now, that brings me to this question. When you're discussing this new system that was brought in at the budget, how you would prevent double dipping, and you agree it's double dipping, not a fraud because it's not illegal, but it is double dipping, legal double dipping. What did Matthias Cormann and Josh Frydenberg say at the cabinet table when this was being discussed, you know, about the fact that they had double dipped? Because what happened, you were made to look silly, Scott Morrison was made to look sillier. I would have thought both those blokes would have said, when this was being discussed by Cabinet about we're going to do this, we're going to do that, they would have said, oh, listen, just on this declaration, my wife, who's a lawyer, and my wife, who's a lawyer, did exactly the same thing, and we double-dipped legally because we're entitled to do it. I mean, I thought that would have been better, you blokes armed with that knowledge. You may have gone in a different direction with the general public had you known that, because it was rather embarrassing 3 days later for them to say, whoops, guess what, we double-dipped. Did you know that they double dipped?
Well, look, I can't recall, because when you go through, and I can't.
But it would stand out in your mind. Matthias Cormann and Josh Frydenberg would put their hand up and say, Joe, Prime Minister, we did this.
Right. What happens is when ministers come forward with new policy proposals where they're going to spend more money, we ask the ministers to come forward in their portfolio with offsetting savings, where they think they can save some money. Now, in this case, when we're about to spend an extra $3.5 billion on childcare, which parents want, 165,000 parents want to work more or to participate in work, and they can't get affordable and accessible childcare, we responded to that by saying, okay, we're going to focus on helping parents with their children up to the age of six, rather than the first 6 months where our old paid parental leave scheme was. There's got to be offsets. And in this situation, we're saying, okay, if you're collecting a paid parental leave from your employer, be it the government or the private sector, and it's more than what the government is offering, then you should take that and not take what the government is offering. But if the government scheme is paying more than what your employer will do. And a lot of small businesses, Ray, don't have the capacity to pay parental leave. I mean, you know, my family's own small business had never had the capacity to pay parental leave payments. Mm. So the government scheme is there, $11,500 for 18 weeks, which is fair enough. But you can't do both. And I think Scott was right, and we were right, that it is important that we make that
I'm going to have to play the Lee sales card here. You didn't answer the question. Do you think it was a bit ridiculous that Matthias Cormann and Josh Frydenberg didn't put their hand up at Cabinet and say, gentlemen, we declare an interest, we've claimed this, then maybe you would have said to Laurie Akes, no, it's not a fraud. It's not a fraud. It's legal.
Yeah. Well, Ray, I can go over all the interviews I've done, but the real result of what we've done is we're trying to make savings to pay for
you
this.
You still haven't answered the question.
I know, because you're asking me to pass comment on comments.
I'm asking you whether it would have been better for Matthias Cormann and Josh Frydenberg, with the benefit of hindsight, for you and Morrison, so you didn't look like bills, to have said, we're part of this rot. We're part of the double dipping.
I think... On the one hand, there's an expectation that self-interest will prevail with politicians. Mm. But when they're arguing against self-interest, as might be suggested by what you're putting, then we've got to do whatever's right.
You missed the point. It would have been better for them to... I don't think it's been deceptive. I think they should have been honest enough to say to you, hey, boys, it might be a little embarrassing 2 days after the budget's handed out when everyone finds out that we doubled it. And I'm sure there are other politicians...
Well, they may not have... I mean, their wives might have done it and they didn't know. I don't know the situation.
Now, listen, Joe, please.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I tell you,
my wife doesn't tell me about...
Well, Joe, I don't have one to tell me anything, but let me say this to you. That in relation...
Sure, there's a lot of women out there. No,
it's not the continuous call team, with all due respect, Treasure. Oh. I'm pretty sure at some stage when this was all discussed, even allowing for the independence of their beautiful and wonderful wives and young mothers, they would have said, Matthias, Josh, we did this. I'm sure...
But if they passed over, if they said, no, we can't do this because we received it, that'd be worse. In my view.
Oh, of course it would be. I'm thinking about the embarrassment for you and
okay,
Scott.
Well, they should have told you anyway.
I don't want to be criticised by the communications minister because he can ring ACMA and dob me in and I'll get into trouble for being too aggressive or something. So we'll leave it at that. There's a story in the Courier Mail today about a group of Liberal National Party MPs who are prepared to stand up to you over the childcare policy because they see it as unfair to stay-at-home mums. Have you heard about the dissent within the party out of Queensland or not?
Well... obviously, people do raise the issue about stay-at-home.
I'll take that as a yes.
Ray, of course I listen to my colleagues, and some have raised the issue. Mm. As we identified in the Intergenerational Report, which was released earlier this year, female workforce participation in Australia is lower than Canada and New Zealand, and that has an impact on our economy. Most particularly, we want to give mums a choice. Mm. We want to give mums a choice. So if they work a day a week or 5 days a week, or as much as they choose to work, we want to be able to facilitate that. Now, the reason why we're putting money into childcare is to help to facilitate that choice for mums and dads, some dads as well. So it's not either or. We actually spend on family payments $38 billion a year. We spend $7 billion a year on childcare. There is a fairly sizable amount of money that goes to parents that are staying at home, taking care of the young children as well. So there is a balancing act here. We actually need to help to facilitate people who want to work to go into work.
Hmm. Now, just on other matters, I notice that Bob Hawke's wife, Blanche, today has said that he would never have become Prime Minister had the media at the time been as intrusive in the 80s as it is now. Well, I guess the answer to that is, my view is, not just the media. I mean, everyone, as we found out recently, is a photographer.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's got a camera. I mean, back in the 80s, people weren't walking around with an Instamatic in their hip pocket
now.
So yeah. I guess in all forms, we've changed in the last 30 years. And given Mr. Hawke's reputation, which was earned or not earned, I have no idea about his private life, but now that his wife would say that, do you think that's a reasonable assessment, that the focus is on you men and women now far greater than it ever was? And I guess everyone in public eye.
Yeah, I've been in nearly 20 years now, 19 years, and it's completely changed. It's completely changed in those 19 years. Social media has changed it. And
you've got to be so careful.
Well, Well, I'm wondering where this is going. If you've got the photo that's been...
No. You know what I use my phone for? I use it to make phone calls and text. That's all I use it for.
Oh, yeah.
My daughter texted me yesterday and said, "Where are you, Dad?" And I said, "Well, I'm playing golf." And I said, "Why?" She said, "I can't find you on Find My Friend." Now, that's an app.
Yeah, she's following you.
Yeah,
she's
she knows exactly where I am every second of my day. And the quid pro quo there, this is my younger daughter, near 18-year-old. The quid pro quo is I know where she is.
Yeah.
So she knows where I am, I know where she is.
Now, you know where her phone is. You don't know where she is. She could have left her
phone don't ruin
in
my...
a boyfriend's car. And,
don't ruin. Why you ruin? It's all right for you. Wait till your kids get old enough. You'll be able to look at them.
This morning I kissed them goodbye for 5 days and I said, "Look, I'd love to drop you all off at school, but I'm going to go speak to Ray Hadley." So there you go.
Sorry, kids.
They know where I am.
Sorry, kids, exactly, on the radio. Just one final thing. I suspect after the budget was so well received, and it was well received, and congratulations to you, and it was a great budget speech as well, and then you've got the polls. Do you feel a bit like Jonathan Thurston as opposed to Greg Bird today? Poor old Scott. He meant to say Jack Bird. He said Greg Bird. I pointed out he's got an 8-week suspension, drugs charges pending, and I was hoping that the following morning you didn't wake up feeling like him.
Well, you know, Ray, I'm still living in the 70s in one sense. I'm still thinking of, you know, Artie Beetson and Grant Hedger and Billy Mullins and all those guys.
Totally irrelevant to all the younger people that may support
Jonathan
you.
Jonathan Thurston, I think Jonathan Thurston's the finest back I've seen in years. He's playing up at Townsville, and he's a brilliant player. And I understand he's a good guy too. So
lovely fellow.
It's better to
be Jonathan Thurston than Greg Bird in 2015. I can tell you.
Well, you know, I'm pretty comfortable being Joe Hockey. Except when I speak in the third person, which is
like an episode of Seinfeld.
Yeah, that's right, a Seinfeld episode. You know, Jimmy loves you. I remember.
Jimmy's angry.
Jimmy
doesn't like that.
Jimmy's fond of Elaine.
Jay's not happy. Jay's not happy with the Senate.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
See you later. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, mate.
Treasurer, Joe Hockey. 131873 is the open line number, 2GB.com. Click onto the feedback icon if you'd like to join us. Just while I talk about Communications Minister Malcolm Turnbull, he's told Emma Alberici and Lee Sales to be less aggressive in their interviewing style, and that's the reason I raised it with the Treasurer. Although he's defended accusations of bias against the pair. Well, I'd like to strangely defend both women this morning. Not that anyone on the ABC needs me to defend them or anyone else. I got some emails last week about an interview Lee Sales did with Bill Shorten and one with Joe Hockey. And I thought both were equally demanding in trying to get answers. Sometimes I get cranky with both Emma and Lee when they're conducting interviews, but I'm sure they get very cranky with me if they think I've fallen short of the mark. But I enjoy their interviewing styles. They want answers to their questions, whether it's Mr. Hockey, Mr. Shorten, or in one case, Clive Palmer, who gets up and walks out on them. Mr. Turnbull has called on his experience as a journalist, a barrister, and a politician. History and others will judge his career as a barrister and a politician, but his career as a journalist could not be described as stellar. He worked as a state parliamentary reporter for 2SM and Channel 9. I think his career as a journalist is sometimes overstated. I'm not a journalist, I'm a broadcaster. I've been doing the type of interviews Mr. Turnbull is talking about for over 2 decades. In my opinion, he should pull his head in. As Communications Minister, it's not his job to tell Emma Alberici or Lee Sales how to do their particular jobs. 131873 is the open line number. 13 minutes to 10.
On the Ray Hadley Morning Show, traffic for AustralianFleetSales.com.au.
At Mascot, Southern Cross Drive, still rather busy, city bound as you make your way up towards the Moore Park area. Waterloo and oil spill, Botany Road northbound at McAvoy Street. Out of the city, you've got a bus, he's broken down. Carl Expressway taking out lane one as you make your way towards the Sydney Harbour Bridge. Epping a breakdown, Epping Road at Blackson Road. Now Spring Hill, a smash on Spring Hill Road, affecting southbound traffic just there at Masters Road. West of Yetholm, roadworks on the Great Western Highway. Also roadworks through Kelso on the highway. The M1 looking okay up to Newcastle. This is Ian Wallace for the Ray Hadley Morning Show.
Get great value with the Subway $5 combo before it ends. 6 tasty $5 combo subs to choose from. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary.
It's good to have you company. Now, we've got a report from Roz at Warunga, which is in northern Sydney. A cabinet on the back of a ute. The drawers are falling out all over Pennant Hills Road southbound near the M1. So if there's a bloke driving a ute with a cabinet on the back of it southbound on Pennant Hills Road, by the time you get to wherever you're going, old mate, you'll have no drawers left in your cabinet, and they're all over Pennant Hills Road, making it difficult for traffic in the area. So we'll get police onto that one, see if they can help as well. 131873 is that open line number, 2gb.com. Ray says, Wendy, congratulations to the Treasurer on a great budget. Let's hope it gets through the Senate. Just say yes to it. 131873 is that open line number, 2gb.com. Click on the feedback icon if you would like to join us. Plenty of people said they enjoyed our chat with Joe Hockey. That's nice of you. Thank you. 131873, 2gb.com. Timothy says, great to see you guys at Dural Tyre Power Saturday. Yes, the continuous call team out there. Thank you for that. Having to meet you in person, I was the guy whose little princess daughter was crying when you were on air. Yes, I remember her. The jumping castle soon calmed her down. Love the show. Listen every day on the app so we get perfect reception in every suburb of Sydney, says Tim. Good on you, Tim, the tradie from out there at Glenorie. Good to have your company. 8 minutes away from 10. Maria sent me a note from Coffs Harbour. Her dad's turning 84 today. He's a bit of a legend, not a bit of a legend, a real legend in the transport industry, and I'm talking about a member of the Lindsay family. The Tom Lindsay building was recently named in his honour at the Brisbane Markets, and he's turning 84 today. I think I'm right in saying the Lindsay brothers, the late Peter and Tom, started this way back in 1953. So well done, all the best to you, old mate. I think I wished you a happy 83rd birthday, so well done today for the big one, the 84th birthday. Thank you for the kind comments received about the Johnny Young interview we did in the Saturday morning program, which now goes into 4BC. Ross says from Thornside, I'd like to compliment you on the interview with Johnny Young. One of the best interviews with an entertainer I've heard. Enjoyed it. Well, there'll be another one coming up this particular Saturday and every Saturday on the Ray Hadley Morning Show on 2GB and 4BC. And to those people who've been unable to get through on the open line, 131873 is that number. We'll take as many calls as we can this hour. By the way, I mentioned to the Treasurer Joe Hockey first hour in light of the critical condition of this 19-year-old man having played Russian roulette with a Smith & Wesson pistol, the scourge of drugs across the community. And someone has sent me a story, I'm not quite sure when, from the Goulburn paper. Nine people faced Goulburn local court last Wednesday, that'd be last week, charged with drug driving. Two of these, Robert Douglas Friend and John Raymond Hill, were charged on three separate occasions with driving with illicit drugs in their system, three times. Police also nabbed Darryl John White twice for the same offence. They added to a growing list who've fronted court since local police introduced drug testing last August. Friend, a 52-year-old, three times he got caught, first tested positive to driving with methamphetamines and cannabis in November 7 last year. 2 weeks later, November 23, officers pulled him over again. He goes positive to the same drugs. He admitted to having a few bongs. On December 31, he stopped and tested positive for cannabis, and police stopped him again. He admitted to taking the drug the night before. The solicitor, Tim McGrath, said his client, who pleaded guilty, accepted he'd be disqualified from driving. Friend, a single parent, had battled a long-term cannabis addiction. He's doing his best to get off it. Well, his best isn't good enough, apparently. Mr. McGrath told the court the Friend was once employed full-time but lost his job for failing an on-site drug test. Also active in volunteer work, apparently. But he tendered his resignation as deputy captain of the RFS. He's embarrassed and ashamed of the circumstance he finds himself. He completed the traffic offenders program. The magistrate, Carolyn Huntsman, disqualified him for just 6 months to run concurrently on each charge and fine him $100. 6 months is the best we can do for a bloke who's caught within the space of 8 weeks drug driving as opposed to drink driving, drug driving three times, and he's 52, and we give him 6 months. That story out of Waco, Texas, nine people have been killed in the shootout between rival biker gangs. These are outlaw motorcycle gangs at a Central Texas restaurant, which sent patrons and bystanders fleeing for safety. I hope the Queensland Premier is listening, Anastasia Palaszczuk. The local police sergeant, Patrick Swanton, said eight people died at the scene, another one in hospital. It's not immediately clear if any bystanders were among the dead. Now, police knew about it in advance that at least three rival outlaw motorcycle gangs would be gathering at the Twin Peaks restaurant, and at least 12 local officers in addition to state troopers were on hand. The fight inside Twin Peaks restaurant started when punches were thrown. It escalated to include chains, knives, and then firearms were drawn. Armed outlaw motorcycle gang members were shot by police, and the sergeant said the officers' actions had prevented further deaths. It's not known what triggered the violence. It looks like all the dead are outlaw motorcycle gang members. Jackie Lambie has won the tick of approval from the Electoral Commission to set up her own political party. The Jackie Lambie Network can now appear on federal election ballot papers and receive public funding if its candidates garner enough votes. Senator Lambie was elected under the Palmer United Party, but of course, as you know, defected way back in November. And out of Queensland, where the rain has eased, I'm told, by my 4BC staff, a 50-year-old man has been charged by police after travelling from New South Wales to Queensland, allegedly for the sole purpose of engaging in sexual activity with a person he believed to be a 14-year-old girl. The man was arrested and charged when detectives from State Crime Command Task Force Argus intercepted him when he arrived in Brisbane on Saturday. As part of this operation, Argos investigators identified the man as he allegedly used the internet in an attempt to coordinate a meeting for sexual activity with a child. The man was unaware he was in fact engaging with a Task Force Argos investigator posing as the 14-year-old. The 50-year-old man was charged with 7 offences, including 1 count of using a carriage service to groom a child under 16 and 6 counts of using a carriage service to procure a person under 16. He'll appear before the Brisbane Magistrates Court this morning, and we'll try and get his name. And detectives are reminding parents of the dangers and to remain vigilant about those dangers of children using social media. By the way, there's a story, offbeat story, where the magistrates in Queensland, and I think there are about 40 of them, or maybe more. No, there are more. There are more than 40. I'll find out how many. They want to be called judges. In New South Wales, the local court is administered by magistrates, and then the district court is judges. And you get to the Supreme Court, you're a justice of the Supreme Court. I understand in Queensland you're a magistrate in the local court, like this one, that this bloke's appearing in front of. Then you're a judge in the district court, and also you're a judge in the Supreme Court. And the magistrates are apparently agitating to become known as judges, as opposed to magistrates. What's in a title? Someone must be hung up on being a magistrate. They get paid less, of course. Yeah, in fact, I was way wrong. 91 full-time magistrates in Queensland, 22 acting. 38, that's where I got the number from, 38 district court judges and 29 Supreme Court judges. But the 91 full-time and 22 acting want to be called judges, apparently, the story out of today's Courier Mail. Queensland magistrates are pushing to be renamed judges, and they've got the backing of the state's chief magistrate, who'll become, or he couldn't become, the chief judge. 131873 is our open line number, 2gb.com. Click onto that feedback icon. It's 11 past 10. We often talk about a lack of respect for the police across Australia. This one happened in Sydney around midnight Friday. A 15-year-old boy, yes, 15, and a 20-year-old man will face court after allegedly assaulting police who went to try to shut down an out-of-control party in Sydney's northwest over the weekend. Police were called to community hall at Rouse Hill after receiving noise complaints. Officers attended. They said the party's shut. After a youth was arrested for failing to comply with orders to move on, the crowd allegedly became aggressive towards police. 3 officers were allegedly assaulted by partygoers before they used capsicum spray to disperse the crowd. A 15-year-old boy. I wonder what his parents think of this. The question I'd ask, what is a 15-year-old doing out on a Friday night at midnight at a party in the first place? I might sound like a dinosaur, and there'll be parents for 15-year-olds out there saying, what's he talking about? Of course they should be out till midnight. Well, not mine, I'm sorry. A 15-year-old boy was arrested and taken to Castle Hill Police Station, while a 20-year-old man was arrested at the police station a short time later. So he's gone back there and put on a blue, apparently. Both have been charged with assaulting police, resisting police in the execution of their duty, failing to comply with a request by police, and using violence to cause fear. The teenager has granted bail to appear before the Children's Court June 11. He'll never be identified, but you can bet your bottom dollar people in Rouse Hill know exactly who the little bludger is. And the 20-year-old man has been granted conditional bail, will appear in court on Wednesday. Well, to hope that the sanctions applied to his parents, apart from any sanction put on him by the courts, would be that he's not going to any more parties on a Friday night. I got an email about one of our sponsors, and that's Virgin Australia, from Marty, who's on the Sunshine Coast. I wanted to make you aware of my experience with Virgin today. It looks like it's Saturday. I fly frequently from Brisbane to Mackay In fact, it's yesterday, I apologise, Sunday, for my work. When I exited the Virgin Lounge today, I asked the lady at the front desk to print me a boarding pass. I'd already checked in online. Upon doing this, she informed me that I had two bookings on the flight, and therefore two seats had been allocated to me. I explained to her that I only booked one seat on the flight, not two, and she agreed. Said, why would you book two flights for yourself? Anyway, she kindly told me she made some notes on my account. I have to ring Velocity. She couldn't do much more from there. I cringed at the thought of having to deal with different airlines in the past. I found it a difficult process. Thankfully, in this instance, I couldn't be more incorrect. The lady I spoke to could not have been more helpful. My problem was resolved in record speed. I was wondering if you could pass on my thanks to the staff of Virgin Lounge in Brisbane and also the people on the help desk via your contacts at Virgin Australia. Great to see a company that puts great emphasis on customer service, says Marty. Well, Marty, I've passed it on to our man there, Roger Lindemann, and I have no doubt that John Borghetti will view it very shortly, and the people from Brisbane and from Velocity will be thanked for the service they gave one of their customers. It's what we should expect, but sometimes it doesn't happen as it should. Ken's in the ACT. Ray, over the weekend I heard a program on how the people at Borellan had created their own beer using world-class barley grown in the district. I immediately wondered if Dot from Borellan Confidential had informed you. Well, no, I haven't heard from Dot. She only rings me when something's happening, and if there's a beer in Borellan, I need to know about it. And the time is 18 minutes past 10.
On the Ray Hadley Morning Show, traffic for AustralianFleetSales.com.au.
At Warunga, break down the Pacific Highway. Lane 1, citybound just past the M1. The RMS crews are with him, so watch out for him as you come off the M1. Matt's got another truck broken down. Mill Pond Road, eastbound at Botany Road. The tow truck's with him, so he should be gone fairly soon. Waterloo and oil spill. Botany Road, northbound at McAvoy Street. Spring Hill, a smash on Spring Hill Road, southbound at Masters Road. Now, Coffs Harbour. Heavy rain has been falling there this morning. Slow down, put your headlights on. And west of Home Roadworks on the Great Western Highway. This is Ian Wallace for the Ray Hadley Morning Show.
Are you buying a car or equipment for your business? Get a fast-tracked application for up to $500,000. NAB can make it happen. Call 13 10 12.
On 2GB, 4BC, 2CC and stations across Australia, I spoke last week about Peter Jones and the No Land Tax Party from the last New South Wales state election. I'm yet to hear from a single person who's been paid by Mr. Jones for handing out the party's How to Vote cards at the New South Wales state election on March 28. As you know, Peter Jones and his party appeal for workers using material that apparently tricked people into thinking they're working for the New South Wales Electoral Commission. They're going to be paid about $330 if they work for the entire day. I warned repeatedly before the election that Peter Jones would not be able to afford the bill, believed to be somewhere between $900,000 and a million. Now, fortunately for us all, Peter Jones missed out on an upper house seat. He was beaten for that final spot by the Animal Justice Party. There's been talk of a class action by those who are still waiting on payment, but it's my understanding Mr. Jones doesn't have any money, so the class action would be pointless. Although, the number two person on the ticket, Pat Carbone, is a person of some wealth. Meantime, I've been forwarded an email over the weekend from a listener who received it from Peter Jones. Now, this is what it says, and dear such and such, I'm sorry, and this is from Peter Jones, that it's been so long since the last update. I also apologise for not returning your individual messages and emails over the past 2 weeks. As you can appreciate, we have understandably been inundated with inquiries and complaints. We'll not walk away from our obligation to you, no matter what it takes. You'll be paid for your work one way or another. However, this process is taking much longer than any of us would like. Probably because they've got no money. I have not previously shared with you the underlying cause of the problems and delays, but they are because they're our problems, not yours. I haven't disclosed them. They should not have affected you in any way, but of course they have. The election campaigns of political parties in New South Wales are most entirely paid by the taxpayer through a system called public funding. The major parties have tens of millions of dollars each in public funding for each election. Well, that's because they get most of the votes, you dill. In October 2014, the Liberal government rigged the public funding rules to increase their own funding and reduce every other party's entitlement. Even with the rigged rules, the No Land Tax campaign should have received $1 million in public funding. That's rubbish. If you don't get the quota, you don't get the funding. However, the Liberal Party, he writes, weren't happy to play even by their own rig rules. They and their supporters embarked on a deliberate and illegal campaign to discourage our workers from turning up. As a result, only approximately half of the people we hired turned up on the day. You didn't hire anyone, you dill. This, in turn, affected our vote and our entitlement of any public funding under the rig rules. Even if everyone had turned up, indeed if only a few more of you had turned up, our vote would have been sufficient to entitle the No Land Tax campaign to public funding and you would have been paid. So it's your fault for not turning up. We were prudent and conservative in our calculations regarding our public funding entitlements. We did not, nor could we reasonably expect to foresee the illegal campaign waged against us by the Liberal Party and their supporters. And we'll be pursuing these matters through the courts, both the Liberal Party's illegal conduct and rigged public funding rules. All of our efforts are focused on ensuring you get your money, you're paid. Then he says, Fair Work Ombudsman. The Fair Work Ombudsman have commenced an investigation into our failure to pay your wages. We are fully cooperating. If worse comes to worse, you may be, listen to this, you may be entitled to the full payment of your wages under the federal government's Fair Entitlements Guarantee. I therefore urge you to register your claim against us with the Fair Work Ombudsman. I expect you'll receive your payslip this week. Conclusion, I apologise for having involved you in this mess. You work very hard, standing on your feet all day and giving up the day with your family. Many of you incurred expenses to do the work. I realise I'm not your favourite person at the moment, but rest assured that all of my time and energy is focused on ensuring you're paid in full as quickly as possible. Kind regards, Peter James. I've never seen such rubbish in my entire life. The New South Wales Electoral Commissioner, Colin Barry's on the line. Mr Barry, g'day.
Hello, Ray.
I didn't intend to speak to you about Mr James, but in light of that particular email, which is full of misinformation, I feel I must.
Yes, look, we've received a lot of complaints about the No Land Tax Party from these people who have not been paid. And it is concerning to me because some of these people think that the Electoral Commission in some way has legitimised this party to the extent that we have some, that they entered into some arrangement with the party and they sort of feel, well, look, you've registered them, surely, you know, you've got some role in it. And it's very concerning to me. And I just want to share with your listeners that we register political parties on the basis of applications and the party complying with the legal processes. They've got to have 750 people, electors in New South Wales, who declare they're members of the party. And there's typically an executive of the party. But as you say, it is concerning that these people haven't been paid, and some of them are in terrible circumstances. I mean, they've done a day's work, and they've been there, they've handed out the how-to-vote cards and so forth, and all of a sudden they've been left high and dry, and they're looking for some relief. Unfortunately, of course, we don't know how many of these people there are, but I suspect, I saw there's some more articles in the newspaper today about people. I suspect there are hundreds of them, and they've really got no voice. You know, I mean, 100 people all around New South Wales, pretty hard for them to mobilise anything. But the political party itself really should come and sort this out, because
It was hijacked by Mr Jones, so you're saying the people who founded the party need to come back and sort it out. It was hijacked by this fellow, but they need to take responsibility, or the No Land Tax Party will never, ever exist again in its current form.
Well, look, that's very interesting. There's two things I'd say about that, Ray. Look, I think that the 750 people who put their name forward to the commission to say, yes, I'm a if in a sense they're like a foundation member of this political party, they should have called for some sort of a meeting of the executive of the party and sort all of this out. And I feel that they should take some responsibility. But when you said that the party won't be registered again, in fact, we're just commencing the continued registration process for all political parties.
Right.
The No Land Tax Party, of course, has to comply with that. So they very well could be operating again at the next local government elections in September next year.
So what can you do as the Electoral Commissioner to perhaps, you know, ask the government to stop that happening? Because, or any party forming, you know, at the moment it's 750 people, as you told me before the election. Should those rules be tightened, Commissioner?
Well, I think that certainly we're going to put them... We put all the parties equally under scrutiny to make sure that they comply with the law. But, I mean, the laws are set and I have to comply with the laws.
I understand that.
I have never, in the 30 years that I've been involved in electoral administration, both in New South Wales and Victoria, I have never seen a political party do what this party did.
guess the reason that you feel as if something needs to be done is many people have contacted me, and you've already stated that, felt that they're either working for you as the Electoral Commission or that you had some connection with the party because of the way they advertised for workers.
Well, look, that's right. And these people have got no voice. They're dispersed across all of New South Wales, probably most of them in the Sydney Basin.
Mm.
And they've got no legal representative. I know they've gone to the Fair Work Ombudsman. I'm not quite sure what that organisation can do for them.
Yeah.
But it would be very, you know, it's very sad that these people have been left high and dry like this.
And what about, he says they may be entitled to wages under the Fair Entitlement Guarantee for the federal government. I've never heard so much rubbish in my entire life.
Well, and Ray, you say how ridiculous it is, and no doubt your listeners will think it's equally ridiculous. I'm sort of calling upon those people who've put their name forward as the 750 foundation members of this party to call some sort of a meeting of the party to bring some finality and some closure for these people.
I agree with you. Now, on the other front, you administer the laws of New South Wales. What can I do? How can I help so this doesn't happen again, that people aren't duped into, you know, you get all sorts of exotic parties. We've got the spreadsheet that is now the, you know, the upper house voting. Is there anything we can do? Can we lobby someone? Can we talk to ministers involved about, you know, putting firmer restrictions, or is that not allowed?
No. After the state election, there is typically a joint standing committee of the parliament inquiry into the conduct of the election.
Right.
And that's an opportunity where I put forward, and indeed anybody else can put forward to that committee, recommendations for change. And certainly, this is an absolute novel set of circumstances. Mm. I mean, there's always things about registered political parties that, you know, they might do something a little bit odd or a little bit, you know, push the law in a certain area.
Mm.
But by and large, they're pretty decent people, and they're playing, you know, in the rules of the game. This political party, the No Land Tax Party, has completely operated outside any sense of propriety, of responsible citizenship.
Mm.
I mean, these people who've been worked on the day clearly have got to have some closure and some redress. I don't know what that might be, but I certainly think the people who are putting their names forward as being both the executive of this party, I mean, they should be, in my view, calling the membership together and saying, well, look, this is what we're going to do to sort it out.
But well, as I said, one's broke, Jones, but Mr. Carboni is a high-wealth individual. And he promised to pay two young girls at a polling booth, and we've had documentation of that. He hasn't even paid them, let alone the other, you know, hundreds, if not thousands, of workers.
Yeah, look, I mean, you were quite right when you pointed out to people, be very careful in signing up, because you doubted that they would get paid. Or what you read out to your listeners about the campaign finance laws and, you know, the expectation this party had of getting $1 million or more. I mean, that's really was just naive. I mean, they were never going to get that sort of money.
Well, of course, I've got you to blame for them having any limelight because you, Colin Barry, drew them out in the rails position, number one on the ballot paper, as you told me previously. And despite my affection for you, I may never forgive you for that.
Yeah. Well, look, all I can hope is that the people who are part of this party bring the executive to account. I mean, if this was a public company, Ray, the lawyers would be all over this, and there'd be a meeting of the shareholders, and people would be saying, look, this is a significant problem. It's damaging the brand.
Exactly.
Now, the No Land Tax Party, its brand name is being damaged, and nobody seemingly is doing anything to bring them to the executive to account.
Thank you for your time as always, Colin.
You're more than welcome, Ryan.
All the best to you, mate. By the way, Colin Barry, the New South Wales Electoral Commissioner. And I tried to tell everyone before it all started that you wouldn't get paid and you won't get paid. And even someone within my own extended family was duped into... Well, they didn't go because they rang me and said, well, do you think we'll get paid? And I said, no, you won't. So they just simply didn't turn up, and I'm glad they didn't. But it's just bizarre. And what happened for people in other states and territories, they did have, you know, a platform, the No Land Tax Party. It was a platform where people who have investment properties pay land tax and they don't want to pay it anymore. But the money's got to come from somewhere else, and that was not part of their platform, that if you abolish land tax, where does the money come from? But it was started by well-intended people. But then those well-intended people let Mr. Jones hijack it for his own purposes. But those well-intended people who founded the Land Tax Party a number of years ago need to come back. And you need to show a bit of strength of character here. Because if you were really honourable in your intentions to start with, and I believe you were, about the No Land Tax Party, you've got to stand up for it. Otherwise, it never, ever, ever has any credibility in any election, be it state, federal, or local government election in the future. It's 28 minutes to 11.
Macquarie National News.
Erin, good morning.
Good morning, Ray. Senior federal ministers are playing down the prospect of an early election despite a boost in opinion polls following the budget. Police are warning parents to be wary of their children using social media after a man was caught allegedly travelling from New South Wales to Queensland to have sex with a person he believed was a 14-year-old girl. $9 make-your-own cigarette packets could soon be for sale as the tobacco industry takes on the black market. And breakthrough research made by Queensland scientists is expected to help people with cystic fibrosis have a better quality of life by reducing lung infections. In sport, Newcastle coach Rick Stone believes his team's win against the West Tigers will give the club a big lift in confidence. Ray, more news in about 27 minutes.
OK, thank you. 131873 is the open line number, 2gb.com. Click on the feedback icon if you would like to join us. Wow, Ray, says Brent from Harvey Bay. This has to be one of the most brazen pieces of rot that Peter Jones has put out, that letter, a steaming pile. It really does stink of lies and deceit. Well, that's been the hallmark of what's been happening. Now, we've got a problem Mount Ousley on the southern part of New South Wales, down towards the Gong. Stuart's there. What's happened, mate?
G'day, Ray. Just over the top of the mountain as you're going south, mate, there's just a little Bantac gone over on the side in the left lane.
In the left lane.
Yeah, there's no one there yet. Okay. There's just a couple of cars pulled up with
it. It's just happened now. Good on you, Stu. You're a good man. So if you're going down the M1, southbound, top of Mount Ousley in the left-hand lane, we've got a Pantech that's gone base over apex. The Pantech has gone base over apex. So there you have it. Okay, thank you for that, Stuart. We'll pass it on to the Traffic Management Centre. 131873 is our open line number, 2gb.com. It's 26 to 11. It's good to have your company. 131873 Police. This is from the Coast Coast Advocate. Quick thinking and experience from Coffs Harbour Highway Patrol has led to a speeding motorcycle rider being outwitted. Patrolling officers noticed the 24-year-old Victorian rider travelling on the Pacific Highway at 155 at Emerald Beach. A chase was considered but not followed through for safety reasons. As the man passed through Corora Public School turnoff, he lost sight while continuing his speed towards Coffs Harbour. What the man didn't know was that an intelligence operation was being put in place with highway patrol vehicles placed at key locations. When the rider failed to arrive at the patrol car situated near Bray Street intersection, the search was switched to Park Beach Precinct. He was quickly located on Ocean Parade, stopped for questioning and later charged with speeding offences, an issue with an infringement notice, and inquiries are continuing. Well done to police in relation to that. Congratulations to them. 131873 is the open line number, 2gb.com. Don't let the winter nasties get you this year. Nature Bee potentiated bee pollen can help you get healthy and stay that way. Nature Bee has 27 vitamins and aminos, 28 minerals, powerful antioxidants, and an army of micronutrients. And this week you'll get a bottle of propolis and Manuka honey lozenges, plus a packet of chewable propolis tablets. For the last 3 weeks they put different pronunciations up on top of this, and today they put no pronunciations on top of it. So it's propolis. Propolis has a natural antibacterial, antifungal and antiseptic property to help protect your immune system evermore. Call 1-800-147-009, 1-800-147-009 for your 6 month supply of Nature Bee, or just go to the website, naturebee.com. That's for $99.95. 6 month supply for $99.95, naturebee.com or 1-800-147-009. Mark, g'day.
G'day. Regarding your news story about the pedophile case, we had not to that extent, but a similar case with my 10-year-old son. Mm. Most 10-year-old boys, you know, they're into Minecraft. And
you'll have to forgive me, mate. What's Minecraft, mate? What's that?
Minecraft is pretty much, it's a bit like Lego, but on a computer world. So the kids can build everything, and everything's square shaped.
Oh, right, okay. Like
yeah. Blokes and stuff.
I've called it up on the website now. I'm looking at it. Yeah. Okay, fine.
Yeah. But he does that with his friends from school and mates and stuff. But we also set him up with Skype so he could chat to them while he's doing it. And we thought we had everything set up correctly. On Saturday, just gone, I was walking past and just noticed he was in a typing conversation with someone who is friends with in Skype, and noticed just bizarrely one of the questions. And it was someone which we didn't know, and like we told him before, it needed to be only friends from school or people mum and dad know.
Sure.
And this was a guy, and like we questioned him, and he said, oh, it's a kid in America. He's 10. And upon looking at it, we're pretty sure it was a pedophile through Skype, because it started off, you know, just asking him how old he was and, what school do you go to? And he stupidly was giving all that information out.
Mark, just before you go on, and look, I never make judgments on families, and because it's the toughest job I've had, four children.
Yeah.
But a 10-year-old unsupervised having, and you happen to walk past having conversations with people, don't you think that's fraught with danger?
I thought I had everything set up on Skype so it could only have and chat to friends from school who we put in there. And he doesn't do it in his bedroom. He does do it in the lounge room.
Well, that's good.
Where we can watch.
Yeah, beautiful. That's all. I'm not being provocative. I'm just asking the question because I've got a list of do's and don'ts in front of me from police about children, even as young as 10, being online and having conversations. And from what you're telling me at the moment, you tick most of the do's. Although police do say that, you know, they think that, and they think 10-year-olds shouldn't be online at all, whether it's with friends or anyone else. So anyway, mate, I'm not telling you how to suck eggs.
Yeah,
it's your boy.
You've
caught him. So you think, have you made any comment to police or contact with police about this?
I've actually got a friend who's in the police who will look at it when he gets back, so... but it was just scary just knowing how easy. And when I sat down and showed him a few stories and of actual incidences that had happened, he wasn't aware. And he goes, but he's a child.
Yeah,
but you could tell by the pattern of the questions, he was building up to other things. And it was just sort of maybe, it was a scary thing for us and to maybe other parents, just to, if your kids do have Skype. I mean, he's still got his school friends who are Skype, but chatting to a lot of their parents. Similar things. They weren't aware how easy it was.
Yeah, well, Mark, I know what I'd be doing, but that's a matter for you. I'd be shutting it down. 10. You can't supervise a 10-year-old 24/7. That's how pedophiles work, mate, on the naivety of 10-year-olds. And instead of being in America, it could have been a bloke down the road from where you live. And, you know, come down to my place for a play. Next thing, you're going to police about your little fella being raped. It's a big danger, mate. And I'm an older bloke, much older than you, but if that's the way we're headed, leave me out of it. 10-year-olds talking to other people on Skype and on the internet. 1-3-1-8-7-3 is that open line number, 2gb.com. Click on the feedback icon if you would like to join us. Pick up the phone, dial the number, have your say. We're running a competition on 2GB where we're getting girls to come to the rugby league, the opening state of origin, and Terry Scott from Warunga was the latest to be nominated, and Terry phoned within 2 minutes. So Terry and a friend are going to state of origin number one. Novotel Sydney Olympic Park, Holden State of Origin. I'll duck over to the pub and say good day before we call the game, and thank you for your poetry, Terry, in nominating, and you're coming along. And we've had two from two so far this morning, so well done. Now, I know that it'd be difficult for people to come to Sydney for this, but if you are listening in rural parts of New South Wales or even Queensland and you can come, it's worth going to. I've been to every one. This is the third annual Slim Dusty Birthday Bash. Thursday, June 11, Rooty Hill RSL. I'm the compere. It features the cream of Australian country music live on stage. Becky Cole will make a special appearance, and I'll be doing an auction, including one of Slim's very own shirts donated by his wife, Joy. That's the Slim Dusty Birthday Bash, and that concert comes up at Rooty Hill RSL. Now, we'll be there on June 11, supporting the work of the Slim Dusty Centre, which is just about ready to open on the mid-north coast of New South Wales at Kempsey. This year's lineup, apart from Becky, Amber Lawrence, Travis Collins, Luke O'Shea, and one of my favourites, Ray Kernighan and Tanya will be there. Anne Kirkpatrick, David Kirkpatrick, and plenty more. The third annual Slim Dusty birthday bash at Rudy Hill RSL, Thursday, June 11. Get your tickets at the club, or go, if you're in rural parts of the country, go to this website, totalcountry.com.au, totalcountry.com.au. And I'm looking forward to being there, as I've been there the last couple of years. It'll be a wonderful night. I look up on the screen and Lee Sales, the host of the ABC 7:30 Report's on the line. Hello, Lee.
G'day, Ray. How are you?
Not bad, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your kind remarks this morning about my interviewing. I really appreciate that.
Oh, that's okay. Oh, look, Lee, as I said, and there are many times I'm sure where you pull faces listening to me do my program, as there are many times I pull faces when I watch your program. But I think in this particular case that you were very even-handed. I think that your interview with Joe Hockey was determined, and I think your interview with Bill Shorten was even more determined to try and get some answers. It's very frustrating when you ask politicians questions and they answer something not related in any way to the question you've just asked them.
Yeah, and look, you know, would have to deal with that on a daily basis, as I do. Look, I wish that every time someone came on, I didn't have to interrupt at all, but unfortunately, you have limited time for these interviews and you need to try to get the politicians to answer what you think the average person watching or listening wants to hear an answer to. And so, unfortunately, if you don't interrupt, you know, you don't sort of get to the heart of the issue often. Mm. So, you know, that's why you have to do that.
I would hope that the criticism from the minister responsible is not because you're a woman, because I think sometimes, you know, and I'm loath to raise this because I enjoy watching both you and Emma. Emma not so much because it's a bit late for me. I get a bit earlier these days. But I just think it's a bad call and a bad look. I mean, you know, and I'm not trying to be sexist and defend you because you are a woman. But I mean, you're supposed to be, you know, readily accepted by the community as a person who conducts interviews and gets to the truth. Whether you're male or female is immaterial to me. Absolutely.
Well, I notice with the feedback that I get from viewers, I think for most viewers too, frankly, that's immaterial, because I think basically people, if you give a hard interview to someone that they like, people find that offensive and they think you've been aggressive and too tough. But if you give the same treatment to somebody that they dislike, they're cheering you on and thinking that you've done a great job. So the sort of idea of bias or whether something's too aggressive or not is very much in the eye of the beholder. And I notice, you know, some nights I will get criticism about the same interview where some people will say, oh, you were so soft, you're a complete wimp, and then other people will say, oh, you're so horrible, you're so aggressive, you went too far. So it's always a bit in the eye of the beholder, that.
Can I share three emails this morning about my interview with Joe Hockey?
Go for it.
Get your head out of his bum.
Nice manners.
Yeah, second one. Fantastic interview with Joe Hockey. Congratulations. Third one. I'm sick of you sucking up the Liberal politicians, you grub. I mean,
yeah, so that's exactly what happens to me too. You get the sort of mixed up. And look, the reality too is, I mean, I don't particularly enjoy the aspect of my job that has to involve me doing confronting interviews, because with most of the politicians, most of them I quite like, you know, like I like Joe Hockey. He has always been really lovely to me. And so it doesn't give me any pleasure to have Joe Hockey on and have to do a tough interview, but I'm not here to be mates with Joe Hockey. I'm here to ask Joe Hockey the things that I think people want answered, or to try to force him to explain holes in his argument or his point of view. And that's what I have to do with every person who comes on, whether I like them or not.
It's not an entertainment program, Lee, I'm sorry. And people can be entertained, but it's an information program where you deal with very serious issues. I've got 3 hours here to, you know, be serious and have fun and do a whole range of other things through the course of the program. You've got a limited amount of time to interview politicians and make them accountable to the people who put them there.
That's right. And no matter who the person is, you know, you sort of have to try and look at what they're saying with a very clear and objective eye. Like, for example, last week I had, or the week before, I had Richard Di Natale on the day that he was the new Greens leader. And he'd been saying all day repeatedly, the Greens are the party for progressive and mainstream Australians. And I kept hearing him say it, thinking, well, actually, I think he needs to be pushed on that, because I don't know that the issues that the Greens are preoccupied with necessarily represent the same issues that mainstream Australians are preoccupied with. So, you know, you sort of listen to all these pollies and try to find, all right, well, where is the gap in what they're actually saying, and how do I then probe that and sort of put my finger on that and force them to, you know, justify what they're saying.
Anyway, keep doing what you're doing, because if half the people don't like it and half the people love you, you're doing something right.
Thanks very much, Ray.
All the best to you. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
That's Lee Sales, who phoned the program from the ABC 7:30 report. 131873 is our open line number, 10 and a quarter to 11.
On the Ray Hadley Morning Show, traffic for AustralianFleetSales.com.au.
And Liverpool will smash Hume Highway at Elizabeth Drive. Another one at Cataract. Truck, he's on his side. Mount Lucy Road to southbound near Picton Road. Warunga Roadworks Pacific Highway, lane 1 closed southbound at the M1. West of the Yetholm Roadworks on the Great Western Highway, also through the Kelso area. So take it easy on the Great Western Highway through those areas. Coffs Harbour, now rain has been falling. Slow down, put your headlights on. And looking at the M5, bit busy outbound through the main tunnel. This is Ian Wallace for the Ray Hadley Morning Show.
Hitting the gym? Love a good deal. Grab a tasty $5 combo from Subway on your way home. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary.
My conversation with Mark, with the 10-year-old, Samantha says, Ray, I'm sorry, but giving a child access to Skype at the age of 10, that's reckless. To top it off, the child doesn't even know about children becoming a target. My son is 10, no internet. He does play Minecraft, but it needs to chat to a friend. He asked if he can use the phone. I talk to the parent to make sure it's okay. Then they talk. I won't be allowing him any form of internet access for a few years yet. It's far too dangerous. Many other parents feel the same way. Story from the 4BC newsroom. The former Queensland MP Scott Driscoll has been committed to stand trial on 16 fraud and fraud-related charges. The 40-year-old will face a district court jury over allegations he solicited thousands of dollars in secret commissions and falsified records during his term as a member for Redcliffe, north of Brisbane. He started his life in Parliament as an LNP member. They got rid of him. He became an independent. He's not in politics anymore. We've got some lovely listeners at Maryborough Harvey Bay on, of course, our station up there, Mix 103.5. Not so Mr. Ian Curtis. What a joke you are. If you think the interview with Hockey and Shorten was similar, you must be on drugs. Sales always attacks conservatives and goes easy on Labor. She's a lefty, like everyone else at the ABC. They're at war with the Abbott government. You appear to be looking after your ratings by not seeing the obvious. Then again, you're a legend in your own lunchbox. See, Ian Curtis, the thing that troubles me, there are alternatives made up there, even in Maryborough and Harvey Bay. Go away! And if you turn off the switch, the source of your annoyance disappears, i.e. me, and I don't get an ulcer by reading your hateful emails, you grub.
On the radio again, we're so glad Ray's back on air again. Talk back I love to listen in to with my friends, the number one radio guy again. And we're all listening. Every weekday he is belting down the airwaves. And he's so interesting, insisting that the world can run the right way. Mornings with Ray, he's on the radio again. We're so glad Ray's back on air again. Talk back, I love.
And welcome back to the second, rather third and final hour of the program. 131873 is that open line number, 2gb.com. A statement from the Foreign Minister, Julie Bishop. Australia's security agencies are seeking to confirm reports another Australian teenager has been killed in Iraq. Our capacity to follow up reports of deaths in either Iraq or Syria is limited. If this report is correct, he'll be one of more than 30 Australians killed in this terrorist cause. It's profoundly disturbing that young Australians are being lured to their death by this barbaric terrorist organisation. The Australian government is taking action to prevent the flow of terrorist fighting and funds to that part of the world. I continue to urge Australians not to travel to Syria and Iraq to join the group or similar organisation. Not only are they putting their own lives in mortal danger, they're adding to the suffering of the people of Iraq and Syria. Any Australians in either country should leave immediately. Well, I suspect if some of them leave, they'll be welcomed back here by the Australian Federal Police almost immediately. 131873 is that open lane number, 2gb.com. You click onto the feedback icon if you would like to join us. There's a dreadful story out of Mexico, of all places. Prosecutors in the Mexican border state say a group of youths aged between 11 and 15 have tortured, killed and buried a six-year-old boy as part of what they considered playing. A statement by the state prosecutors there says the miners admitted Thursday's killing in a poor neighbourhood of the state capital. It says two 13-year-old girls, an 11-year-old boy, two 15-year-olds caught this little fella, tied him up, then they stoned him and stabbed him in the back before burying him in a shallow grave. The two 15-year-olds faced criminal charges. Their younger children were turned over to juvenile authorities. Killing in Mexico. You don't need to go that far for another one. A man is fighting for his life after allegedly being stabbed at a boarding house in Sydney's inner west last night. At around 8:20 p.m, emergency services were called to a boarding house on Queen Street at Ashfield after reports a man had been stabbed. Police and paramedics found a 38-year-old man with multiple stab wounds to his head and body. He was taken to Royal Prince Alfred, where he remains in a critical condition. Another resident of the boarding house, a 40-year-old man, was taken to Burwood Police Station and been charged with wounding with intent to murder. He's also been served with apprehended domestic violence orders before being refused bail. He'll appear before Burwood local court today. Detectives continue their investigations. And from Queensland Police, robbery and serious assault charges. Police have charged a 17-year-old man after he allegedly robbed a man and assaulted two police officers in Vincent this morning. At around 3 o'clock this morning, the man allegedly approached a 60-year-old delivery man near a loading dock on Hodges Crescent and Ronan Street. The man made demands for money, and when the older man failed to comply, he assaulted him. The man then gave him some money. He fled from the scene. It's alleged when police attempted to detain him, he resisted arrest and assaulted the two officers. The 60-year-old man received treatment for minor injuries. This happened in Townsville. He ended up in Townsville Hospital. The 17-year-old from Condon in Townsville was charged with robbery and violence, two counts of serious assault. He'll appear in the Townsville Magistrates Court today. That's from Queensland Police. Dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. 131873 is our open line number, 2gb.com. You click on the feedback icon. I got a note from Wayne Cousins. I was pleased to hear that Wayne, who formerly was the West Tigers media manager, has found a new home. He's a new media manager for the Manly Warringah Seagulls. Well done. He's a very capable young fella. Ray, happy to see you at Brookvale Oval. Do you still like Red Frogs? Yes, Wayne, I do. They give me a little sugar boost while I'm calling football the Red Frogs. Manly are rallying behind the family of little Roman Campbell. Now, Roman was the 2-year-old tragically killed in that house fire in Beenleigh. Roman's father, Jared, is a passionate Seagull supporter. The club has expressed its condolences to Jared, his mother, Belinda, and their children. Manly members and supporters wishing to donate to the Campbell family can do so through the official channel of the Logan House Fire Support Network. All proceeds go to the Campbell family. The Seagulls will provide a special experience for the family at our upcoming match against Brisbane at Suncorp Stadium on June 5. That's Friday, June 5. And I look forward to seeing you up there, and I'll most likely be in Brisbane for that game on June 5 and broadcasting out of 4BC on that Friday, June 5 as well. Your nearest Sanity store is only a click away. Visit Sanity on your mobile device and check out the new website. Why not visit Sanity at sanity.com.au now and shop on the go? All the music, no matter where you are across Australia, TV on DVD, movies and DVD and Blu-ray. In fact, all the entertainment you need is available for your computer, your smartphone or your tablet. Head to sanity.com.au and shop on the go anytime that it suits you. Sanity, proud sponsor of the Ray Hadley Morning Show and supplier of the Ray Hadley Country Music Collection Volume 3. Available now, supporting Professor Dominic Rowe's research into motor neurone disease. Sanity providing you with great service and great value. And, of course, one of our sponsors, Sanity. 131873 for the continuous call team as well. In the meantime, Ray sent me a net note. Can you tell me, please, the music you play at the end of your program? It's beautiful. It's lovely. It's called The Last Date. The Last Date. Thank you. 131873 is the open line number, 2gb.com. Click onto the feedback icon if you would like to join us. An accident, a bus and three cars at Banksia in Sydney. Subway Road near Princes Highway, a person trapped in the car. Well, that'll be a serious one. A bus and three cars on Subway Road near Princes Highway, Banksia in southern Sydney. A person appears to be trapped in that car. Now, I mentioned earlier the heavy rain that motorists had to combat in Brisbane this morning, so I went to the rain radar because they're tipping showers for Sydney as well, and I had a look at the rain radar to see whether there's any rain anywhere up and down the coast. Go to Sydney first of all. There's a bit of rain probably about 50 or 60 k's east of Sydney at the moment, but not much. Let me go further up and have a look at Newcastle, see if there's any rain around there. A little bit of rain off the coast again, but not much at all, scattered at best. We go to Grafton, Coffs Harbour, there's a bit of rain heading in towards Nambucca Heads at the moment, but Coffs itself, fine. Yamba, Evans Head, Ballina, all clear, no rain there. And then if I go to Brisbane at the moment and look at the rain radar there, Some pretty heavy showers for Maroochydore and Caloundra at the moment, by the look of it. Off Southport, there's a pretty heavy rainfall, about 10 or 15 k's off the coast. But for Brisbane City itself, no problems. No problems whatsoever for Brisbane.